Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I also believe that in the short term, as we transition to renewable energy, we can and should increase our domestic production of oil and natural gas.
Have you seen The Daily Show recently? They have a new feature, Red State, Blue State. So, if you look at John McCain and Barack Obama's energy policies, do you see a classic red state, blue state split? McCain wants offshore drilling and nuclear power, solutions that are focused on increasing supply. Obama wants a million plug-in electric cars, subsidies for insulating homes, and a reduction in carbon emissions of 80% by the year 2050. Demand-oriented solutions. So, they're pretty different, right? Well, not exactly. Joining us to sort out the Obama and McCain energy plans are Kenneth P. Green, a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and Joseph Rome, senior fellow with the Center for American Progress and former director of the Clinton Administration Department of Energy Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. Got that? Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Hello.
Kenneth Green, the McCain campaign is giving Obama a lot of heat for opposing offshore drilling and nuclear energy. Are they right in doing so?
Well, if you believe in increasing supply, then yes, they're right in doing so. Oftentimes, the people in favor of renewables come out with the phrase, we need to look at everything. We need to have all options on the table, all forms of renewables. We're going to need all kinds of energy, but they're all conveniently excludes the two that are the most directly exploitable and the most available, which is additional fossil fuels and nuclear power. So I think that there is a dichotomy there in Obama's rhetoric that does not match his desires, his goals.
What about the argument, though, that oil companies have rights now to drill in lots of places that they're not taking advantage of?
Sure. This is an interesting misdirection that the Congress has managed to put forward. Basically, they held the prime areas off limits for exploration and development, and the oil companies were offered subprime areas to buy. Now, if you're
explain
an
that
company,
primaries, subprimaries.
Well, the areas where we believe they're most likely, where geologists believe they're most likely to find oil that can be developed and natural gas that can be developed with reasonable costs, reasonable technology. Those areas, like the Outer Continental Shelf and the Anwar in Alaska, have been put off limits for development. The areas that are open to development are areas that are dubious in terms of whether they're going to have significant amounts of fossil fuels, whether they'll be economically worth developing. But because they had no access to the top-notch stuff, sure, the oil companies and the energy companies bought the lower stuff on the idea that something is better than nothing if you're going to develop new supply. But that's not to say that they would ever choose to develop all of that first when the top-notch stuff is still out there to be developed. And no consumer would do that either. If you went to a store and they said, well, we've taken off all the top-notch meats, but we're only going to sell you the low-grade stuff, well, you're still going to buy it, right? But that doesn't mean as soon as the top-grade stuff is available, you wouldn't want to switch immediately. Of course you would.
All right, let's listen a little bit more to Senator Barack Obama's energy speech in Lansing, Michigan yesterday.
The truth is, none of these steps will come close to seriously reducing our energy dependence in the long term. We can't simply pretend, as Senator McCain does, that we can drill our way out of this problem. We need a much bolder and much bigger set of solutions. We have to make a serious nationwide commitment to developing new sources of energy, and we have to do it right away. Right now. We cannot wait.
Senator Barack Obama speaking yesterday in Lansing, Michigan. Joseph Rome, senior fellow with the Center for American Progress. What are the key elements of the Obama energy plan?
Well, unlike Senator McCain, Obama actually has a strategy that might work. I think we have to be clear here that we can't drill our way out of this problem. That is very clear. Contrary to what the previous speaker said, we have tried offshore drilling. We opened up the best, unlike what he said, we opened up the best oil in the Gulf of Mexico, which has far more oil than the coastal plains. And we did that 2 years ago, and oil prices have doubled. Anybody who tells you that drilling is the answer to this problem is saying that what we've been doing for the last four decades, if we keep doing it, things will get better instead of getting worse. What we need to do is make a fundamental shift to end our addiction to oil. And that means more fuel-efficient vehicles, plug-in hybrids, aggressive push on renewable electricity, aggressive push on energy efficiency. And by the way, contrary to what McCain and the previous speaker said, Obama is not opposed to nuclear power. Unlike McCain, however, who wants to shove 45 nuclear plants down the throat of the American public without any idea of where to put the waste, Obama would like to solve the problem of where we put the waste from our current 108 plants before we start building a lot more nuclear plants. So I just think that really Senator McCain does not have a serious energy plan, and Obama has certainly put forward the best, most comprehensive energy plan of any presidential candidate in U.S. history.
Kenneth Green, what about that? I mean, what about this idea that Obama is saying you can't drill your way out?
Well, we certainly can't drill our way out if the Democrats don't let us drill. I mean, if the environmentalists block drilling as they have managed to do for years, we're certainly not going to drill our way out. It would be nice to actually sink a few wells first and maybe see if we can actually improve the supply of affordable fuel before we just write it all off and go to less affordable energy sources such as wind, solar, geothermal, and the renewables, which I agree are viable energy sources, but they're more expensive. And Americans are already reeling from high energy prices, high food prices, high product prices, high service prices, all of that tied to the fact that we're an energy civilization. We're not addicted to energy. We're an energy civilization. Everything we do requires energy to make it. Everything we own requires energy to maintain it and service it and keep it up. And this is the nature of our civilization.
Hang on. Well, let's remember who said addicted to oil. That wasn't Barack Obama. That was George W. Bush.
Yes, well, and he was deeply wrong, deeply and abidingly wrong to use that kind of language and fall prey to that sort of mindset, because the reality is it's like saying that I, as a human being, I'm addicted to breathing. Well, certainly I am, because I'm a human being. I'm also addicted to living.
Well, what about that, though? I mean, if you can save a whole lot of energy through some not that painful conservation members, like using more fuel-efficient automobiles, like insulating your home, aren't you in some ways curing yourself of that addiction? I mean, it's not like, yes, you need oxygen to breathe, but it is possible to live in a home that is more energy efficient and uses less energy.
Oh, sure, and that's actually why I went into environmental science in the first place. I don't have a car. I live in a small apartment. Each room is separately temperature-controlled, and we live a remarkably low-energy lifestyle, my wife and I, but it's not because I'm trying to cure my addiction to energy. It's because I don't believe in waste, and I don't believe in wasting money on energy that I don't actually need to use to enjoy my life. I think it's perfectly reasonable to avoid waste and perfectly reasonable to reduce your energy use if it suits your desires. And it's easily done in some ways, but in other ways it's very difficult to do, to get below a certain level of energy efficiency.
Joseph Rome, I'm interested to see that both candidates are holding on to their support of clean coal and ethanol, even though results in those areas have been poor to mixed. Are they right?
Well, I think it's worth pursuing clean coal. I think the Bush administration has screwed up our efforts to pursue clean coal, and I don't think the coal industry is serious about it. Let me just make one key point. Both Obama and McCain say they care about global warming, and both have put out policies that would require deep reductions in fossil fuel use over the next four decades. The problem is that McCain has abandoned this notion that global warming is a major threat to the health and well-being of Americans for this short-term drill political gain. I think that it is time for some real straight talk to Americans. Even oil man T. Boone Pickens says we can't drill our way out of this problem. We have 2% of the world's oil reserves and use 25% of the world's oil. So,
but let's not leave this issue of clean coal. I mean, Obama comes from a state where coal is a factor, and he is supporting the use of clean coal, even though the technology is unproven.
Well, now, he's supporting the like Senator McCain, he supports trying to find out if the technology will work. I mean, we get half of our electricity from coal right now, and obviously it would be nice if we could, in fact, figure out a way to use coal without putting in dangerous levels of greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere. So I think on the specific issue of clean coal, Obama and McCain are very similar.
Now, what about ethanol, which has proved to create a lot of problems, some of which we're experiencing right now with the issue of the global food crisis? Kenneth Green?
Well, yeah, before I get to that, I do need to clear up one misconception. Though I don't support cap and trade, John McCain has not backed away from it at all for controlling carbon dioxide emissions. I actually prefer a...
Hello? Have we lost Kenneth Green?
Here.
Oh, okay.
I'm still here. But on ethanol, I mean, the fact of the matter is what we've seen with ethanol is that it causes huge environmental destruction. It provides little in the way of usable energy for people. And it is basically the result of lobbying to produce a windfall for the corn industry.
And they're both behind it. I mean, you know, these are two guys that are supposed to be sort of independent-minded.
Well, except that John McCain, and this is where the previous speaker, Mr. Rahm, is ignoring John McCain's history. John McCain had pursued cap and trade for many years, I believe before Obama was even a senator, and he opposed ethanol for most of his time in the Senate. He did have an epiphany in Iowa, which is a affliction that happens to many political candidates when they get to Iowa, but he had previously disagreed with the idea of using ethanol as fuel, whereas Obama has always been for it.
What about that, Joseph Rome? I mean, you know, here is Obama, and he likes to go around and talk about how he goes to Detroit and talks to auto manufacturers about cutting fuel emissions, saying things that are unpopular, and yet he remains behind ethanol.
Well, I think if you look at the plan that he announced this Monday, he was very clear that the ethanol he wants to move towards is the low-impact so-called cellulosic ethanol from things like crop waste and dedicated energy feedstocks. I think everybody recognizes that corn ethanol is not the solution. I think we have gone too far on corn ethanol. I think everybody in the energy and environmental community wants to see if an aggressive push on ethanol from non-food sources can be viable. So that, I think that is a crucial strategy. But let me just say that the real answer, I think the answer that Obama has put on the table in a very serious way is the plug-in hybrid electric cars. That is how we're really going to get off of oil, because electricity is a widely available, very diversely produced and cheap domestic fuel that can power cars that General Motors and Toyota and Volkswagen are going to introduce in the next year or two. And a number of manufacturers are going to be introducing better, improved all-electric vehicles. So, Obama has said he wants to have a million plug-in hybrid electric vehicles on the road by 2015. That
sounds like a low number. A million. That doesn't sound like a very high number, a million. I mean,
well, for a car that is not even commercial today, it's an amazing commitment. And I think it's a very strong commitment to say we are finally, once and for all, we know what we have to switch to. We have to switch to fuel-efficient, advanced hybrid electric gasoline vehicles. And, I think that if we do that, we are going to give Americans the best chance of having much lower fuel bills.
Kenneth Green, I want to hear from John McCain in a minute, but what do you think about the goal on hybrids?
There actually, I think, is some grounds of agreement here. I think we will move toward plug-in hybrids as an alternative to normal gasoline vehicles. The question is how we do it. Do we do it through a government mandate, which in the past has failed for electric vehicles, or do we try to find ways to have the market do that, namely by it's going to happen anyway because of high oil prices? But I think we will move in that direction. But a caveat there, as Joseph has said, 50% of our electricity or more is generated with coal. The more people start plugging in vehicles, the more electrical demand there's going to be, and the more coal is likely to get burned. Plus, there is a not insignificant hurdle in infrastructure. If you think about the idea of putting a power socket in your parking meters and your parking spaces, and you think about how much that's going to cost in terms of laying that new infrastructure to charge vehicles when they're away from the home, because not everybody will be able to charge up overnight or be able to make their trip. It's not an insignificant challenge. And that's a lot of vehicles, by the way, at the rate that the vehicle fleet turns over, especially for a technology that has not been introduced and nobody knows what the cost will be.
My guests are Kenneth Green, who is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and Joseph Rome, senior fellow with the Center for American Progress and former director of the Clinton Administration Department of Energy Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. Phone number here at WNYC, 646-778-3729. That's 646-SPUD-RAY. Let's listen to a little bit of John McCain. A couple of comments from him. The first one is from South Dakota. The second one from Florida.
We're not going to pay $4 a gallon for gas because we're going to drill offshore, and we're going to drill here, and we're going to drill now. My opponent doesn't want to drill. He doesn't want nuclear power. He wants you to inflate your tires.
Joseph, from the rhetoric has gotten pretty heated this week. Both candidates are again today speaking about energy. They have been for the last several days. But at the same time, both campaigns are acknowledging that they might support the energy bill moving through the Senate right now that includes both some conservation measures and some limited offshore drilling. This raises a question of, despite the heated rhetoric, despite the difference in platforms, if in the end they're willing to move to the same position, what's the difference in who is president?
Oh, I think it's very clear. John McCain does not support and never has supported government policies to promote renewable energy. And John McCain does not support more efforts to promote fuel efficiency. The fact is, when the Group of Ten announced their compromise plan, John McCain did not come out in favor of it. He just wants to have Congress vote for drilling. He doesn't want a comprehensive plan. Obama understands that drilling can't possibly reduce gasoline prices. If we opened up every part of the United States for drilling, according to the Bush administration's own Energy Information Administration, that would lower gasoline prices about 2 to 4 cents in 2 decades. Only reason Obama supports it is because Republicans are holding their breath and refusing to do anything if you don't allow some drilling. I'm afraid, I think there's no question the candidates are completely different. And the quote that you had from McCain about tire pressure is, I think, the most damning and indicative quote we've heard so far. No president in history has ever run on mocking the notion that saving energy
that you should keep your tires inflated?
Yeah, in fact, NASCAR recommends it. Governor Schwarzenegger recommends it. Governor Crist recommends it. The EPA and the DOE of the Bush administration say that if we took some simple measures that Senator Obama has been talking about, like tire inflation, like having your car tuned, having your oil filter checked, that would save about 5 times as much oil as we are ever going to find if we open up the coastal plains for drilling.
Let's take a couple of comments. We have a comment on our website or a question. As any recovered oil goes right into the world market, who can prove that any new oil produced offshore or in Alaska will directly impact the U.S. market and its domestic consumers? And I think, George from Bay Ridge, you have a similar question?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for taking my call. This is for Mr. Green, basically. I mean, if we, by some miracle, were able to be totally independent and China and India's consumption continued, we wouldn't get an made-in-American oil discount. The price would be the same, if not higher, because it's based on a world market. I mean, this is utter nonsense that somehow drilling is going to reduce prices. It's not even a chance that we're going to get some sort of made-in-America discount from Mobil Exxon. It's a pipe dream.
Thanks for your call, George. Kenneth Green?
Well, I agree and disagree. I mean, it's true. Every liquid fuel that we make is going to go on the world market. That applies to ethanol. That applies to biodiesel. That applies to regular oil. That applies to if they liquefy natural gas and they go with more liquefied natural gas depots, it applies to natural gas. We are in a world market. But the question is whether or not we're going to have our own oil and use our own local energy. It's whether or not we can increase the total supply in face of total demand and therefore have the price go up more slowly. I mean, the fact of the matter is China and India are going to continue developing. They're going to use a lot of energy. Most people who are humanitarian actually think that that's good because those people, many people are starving and they have no homes and they have no medical care. But the question is, how do we buffer that? And if we don't increase supply, the price will simply go up more sharply. If we do increase supply, we can slow that down. And I'll tell you also, I'm not a particular supporter of the McCain candidacy, much less his energy platform. But what Mr. Rahm said is simply about his not supporting efficiency measures and conservation measures is simply not true. John McCain has supported cap and trade as a mechanism for triggering conservation for at least 10 years.
All right. Last question from Rob from New City. We got about 30 seconds. Hi, Rob.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think the American public is deeply in trouble because neither of the candidates is talking about why oil is so expensive. We all just seem to accept that, it's $4 a gallon now. But why? It's because the administration has passed legislation that has allowed them to raise prices like this and that there's no oversight. And that they're gouging us for these tremendous profits while the rest of the country suffers.
Joseph Rome, anything in the Obama plan that addresses that?
Well, certainly Senator Obama wants to aggressively pursue this issue of whether speculators have raised the price of oil and whether, oil companies obviously have seen record profits. The five biggest oil companies are going to see profits of $160 billion this year. I want to be honest. I think we have a long-term supply-demand imbalance, and we need to end our addiction to oil. But I think there's some things we can do in the short term, and I think if you compare what Senator Obama wants to do with Senator McCain, I think Obama has a vastly superior strategy.
Kenneth Green, last word, 15 seconds.
Well, I don't think either of the candidates have a particularly coherent strategy. If you look at both of their platforms, they're internally inconsistent. They want to reduce greenhouse gases but increase drilling for oil. They want to have nuclear power, but neither one wants to say how they want to deal with the waste. The platforms are not particularly coherent in either direction. I don't believe that Senator Obama's command and control regime is going to be superior to Mr. McCain's. I suspect Senator McCain's would in fact yield better outcomes because it's less rigidly controlling from the governmental standpoint. But again, neither of them have a particularly coherent policy, which is a shame.
Thank you very much, Kenneth Green, resident
Thank
scholar
you.
At the American Enterprise Institute, and Dr. Joseph Rome, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, former director of the Department of Energy Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy in the 1990s. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. When we come back, new suggestions on prostate cancer screening.